Please turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. And it reads, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen you, love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. Good to be together this morning. First day of the week, the day in which Christ rose from the dead. We're about to start a series of lessons on the subject of joy. And I'm excited about this. Just the matter and the details I get to share with you today makes me very happy. And I was thinking about what David just read for us, the inexpressible joy. And what does Peter mean by that? We're going to look at that a little bit closer. Again, if you're visiting with us, you're our honored guest, and we're glad that you're with us. This morning, we'll be looking at the subject of joy in salvation. And blessed are those who are thankful for Jesus Christ because they know his joy. You want to know joy? It involves being thankful. We've often heard about counting our many blessings. We've often heard about Thanksgiving. When you look throughout the scriptures, many times you're going to see Thanksgiving is associated and connected with joy. I want to have the deep joy. I know we go through hard times in our life and we have some discouragement and trials. In fact, Peter even noted that when he talked about inexpressible joy. He says, look at these trials that we have been through. He says, well, we have this deep joy within us. And I want to encourage you this morning to think about that. I want to make sure that we're not moving away from the joy that comes in Jesus Christ. Think about what excites you, what stirs you about the Christian faith. What is so joyous and invigorating about it that impassioned makes you impassioned? This morning, Brother Don stood up here and he said, I have no greater joy than to lead this table. I remember that. And I thought about that. I don't know if, Don, you knew what my subject was today. But you said those exact words, and I was thinking, okay, this is what I need to preach on. This is excellent. Very, very true. When we look at joy, we look at how people first receive the gospel. We're going to look at a few examples this morning. Here's one from Acts chapter 13, and we have Paul with Barnabas going into Galatia on the first missionary journey and proclaiming the gospel, and many people are going to obey. And this is what it says here. It says, so, this is from the preaching of Peter. He says, for so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I made you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Prophecy from Isaiah about Jesus Christ being a light to the Gentiles. The Greek word for Gentiles, ethnoi, to the ethnicities, to the nations. That's where the gospel is going, to the ends of the earth. And it says, and when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. Well, it was predicted, it was prophesied in Isaiah, this great day was coming. And to hear the gospel and to respond in that way, oh, we need to get back to that if we've lost that. Many of us can think back to when we first heard the gospel, when we first obeyed it, how enthused we were. I remember when I was baptized, I was 11 years old. It was December 6, 1993. And I told everybody, I was baptized. You need to be baptized. You want to be saved. And I was excited about it. And here you can see that, and you know what the Gentiles were thinking when they were here, and they were rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. As many as were appointed to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was spreading through the whole region. There's something about that gospel, because gospel means what? Good news, good message. That's what it is. And brethren, we feel like we're getting down and discouraged. We need to go back to that. What is it about the good news, the good message that gives me joy? It fills my life and gives me great optimism. So why were they rejoicing? Again, they were hearing good news. And you might be thinking, well, didn't these Gentiles already have a belief in the afterlife? I mean, if they were God-fearing Gentiles that they were they were a part of Judaism or following after the Jewish God, after Yahweh. They had a belief of afterlife. And then they're hearing the scripture and prophecy, and they're thinking, praise to God, this day has come. They were rejoicing because of that. Now, maybe some of them as well, some of these Gentiles were pagan. Didn't they have a belief in the afterlife? Yeah, they believed in Elysium. So what was it about the gospel that they were hearing that was giving them joy? Well, part of it was that there's no more boundary between Jew and Gentile. It was no more restriction. It's the Gentiles that access directly through the gospel to God and through Jesus Christ. That enthused them. I think the other thing that encouraged them was the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. If you're a God-fearing Gentile, if you're a Jew, you look for the day when the dead will rise, when there will be a resurrection. And when you hear that Jesus has already raised from the dead, and as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he's the first fruits of that resurrection. He's the beginning of it. Man, that's one of the subjects that makes me enthusiastic, that gives me joy. Think about Christ's resurrection and the outcome of that. And we're going to listen to what Peter said again about that inexpressible joy in a moment. So where is the joy in your Christian faith? Think about that this morning. Has it grown cold? I struggle with it. I think about it. And then we go through and we think about things we're thankful for and we count our blessings. Peter kind of does that for us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, just remember that. Anything else today, you're feeling discouraged, thinking about the joy in the church, why you're a Christian, 1 Peter 1. And we're going to look at it, we're going to look at the details, but I want you to think right now, reflect on your life. What has happened? Is my joy stronger? Is it increasing? Have I had joy from the very beginning? Did I rejoice like the Gentiles did when they first heard the gospel? Why do I struggle with joy in my Christian walk? That might be another question we want to ask. I find myself doing that. This isn't going right, and this isn't right. But why am I a Christian? What is so right? Well, Christ has died for me, and he's saved me. He's given me that hope of eternal life. Well, when I think back to that, that's what stirs me. That's what stirs me. And this morning, as I was thinking about this lesson, I was thinking, I get to preach on everything I love and that stirs me up. It gives me great joy. And I thank God for that. But believers lose their joy when they forget how Christ gives them the most joy. You know, people think, I like the way the world is. I want a worldly happiness. They want to pursue their own form of happiness outside of Christ. What do you find when you do that? When you leave God in Christ, you're giving up on any kind of ultimate meaning or value. You're giving up on unconditional love from God. You're giving up on the love of Christ and how he died for you and what he did for you. There's not really any joy without God, without Christ. Nothing else makes any sense anymore. And personally, there's nothing else that's going to draw me away. I want Jesus, and I want God, and I want the love and what he has given to me. This is what I want to look at this morning. How can we allow God to restore that rejoicing of inexpressible joy? Now, you might be thinking about that. Isn't that kind of a contradiction? Inexpressible joy? Should I be able to express it? And looking at the Greek text, I think what Peter's saying here, it's expressible, but you cannot express it fully. You're so excited and joyful about it. I can't express it fully, and even if I did in front of other people, they would think I was crazy. So I feel that way sometimes. But this is it. This is the joy. I want you to look at it right here. Open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1. If you got a Bible in front of you, look at it right here. I want to start at the last two verses, and then we'll go back up. So look at verses 8 and 9. Peter says, though you have not seen him, that's Jesus, you love him. That's a part of the joy, to love him. He says, and though you do not now see him, you believe in him. So you've got to love him, and you've got to believe in him. And then what it says, and you rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith and the salvation of your souls. And there's the joy. Looking forward to the salvation of our souls, the outcome of what it means to be a Christian. And I want you to back up here. Now, let's keep this in context, the things that he has noted. At the very beginning, he blesses, he says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 3. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. That's the context of that inexpressible joy. And there are things that stand out to me within this passage that describe, that give me kind of a little list here of what increases my joy, encourages me. And this is what I see. I see five things right here for joy within Christians. So number one, being born again. You have joy when you see someone baptized? I do. I love that. Earlier this summer, I just got to visit another congregation, went to West Gannett congregation, and there's a young man that was baptized that night. Ah, I feel enthused. This is wonderful. A great introduction if you're going to get up and speak before other people is to be able to see someone baptized, to become a Christian, to enter in that newness of life. The other part of the baptism, like I mentioned, when I was baptized, there's a new life. There's something greater. Everything I've been living for selfishly, I can put that all aside. Now I'm focused on God and Christ. This is the other thing we have. We have a living hope. Notice the description there. You could just say, well, now we have hope. But Peter says it's a living hope. It's alive. Why? Because the hope is in the resurrection of Jesus. He rose from the dead, and we look forward to that final day when Christ comes back. I remember sometimes as a kid, I don't know what my picture was, but I thought when the Lord comes back, I hope he doesn't because I want to live a little bit longer. And none of it seemed like it had any hope to it. There's nothing to it that enthused me. But the more I know about Christ, the more I know about the resurrection, the more I know about eternal life that Jesus promises me, all that stirs me up. That, for me, is a source of inexpressible joy. And I think as Peter is presenting right here. Number three, he talks about that living hope is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and assurance of our faith. To be able to look forward to that day and say, I know that Jesus died, and I know that he rose from the dead, and I know that he can give me what he promises me. I know that he can do that. I know that I can look forward to eternal life and rise up because Christ did it. He's the first fruits of it. He's the assurance of it. And that strengthens my faith and gives me joy. Number four, we see here an imperishable inheritance. What is the inheritance? You receive a glorified body. You live in a heavenly country, Hebrews 11 and verse 16. Or as Peter says, we look forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells, 2 Peter 3 and verse 13. Or we read about the paradise in Revelation 21 and 22 and say, I get that. That's the inheritance. That's the blessing given to me. And as Christians, that should give us great joy. It should cause it. In this lesson, I don't think Peter is saying here, listen, people, you don't have joy. It's all your fault, and I'm putting it on you. He's not preaching in that way. He's saying, this is the truth. The gospel has caused these things. These are the things that cause joy within us. These are things we want to, in ourselves, look forward to study more, to open our Bibles and look at being born again, a living hope, Christ's resurrection, the imperishable inheritance. Now, the one thing that didn't come to my mind when I was thinking about what gives me joy as a Christian, right here, the protection through faith, or that God guards us by his own power, it says there in 1 Peter 1, for that day of salvation as we look forward to it, that confidence without fear, that if I do this, as long as I follow Christ, as long as I am faithful to him, I have no reason to fear. I have no threat of condemnation if I am faithful to him. And during the Lord's Supper, I read over a passage to help me focus, and I was looking at Colossians 1. And Colossians 1, 19 through 21, and right there in Colossians 1, he says, Christ did these things. He died for us, and he gave his life, so we will be blameless and without reproach and to be holy on that day of judgment. And then it says, if we continue in the faith. I love that confidence. As long as I continue to live in the faith, as long as I stand under God's cleansing and the picture of God's grace again, and as long as I'm under that waterfall, and I'm going to pick up mud sometimes and put it on me, but to know that the sins will be washed away as long as I continue to walk in the light. God takes them away. Thank God for that. The forgiveness of sins and everything, all those blessings we read right there in Peter. And we're going to talk more about this over the next 3 weeks. What about the gospel gives you joy? What do you think of immediately? You think about the good news. This is what enthuses me. This is what excites me. This is that deep joy within me. Now, Peter, again, he's not requiring joy for these reasons. He's saying these things are what cause joy, inexpressible joy. So do these cause you joy? Being born again, a living hope, Christ's resurrection, an imperishable inheritance, and God's protection through faith. Now, I can't sum it up any better than what Peter did. This is what gives me joy. I want you to look at a few more examples here. Think back to the joy of when you first became a Christian. What was the biblical response to faith, to believing, to baptisms, and salvation? In Acts chapter 16, this is what we see here. You remember when Paul and Silas are in prison? What did they do? They sang songs. Why? You would think they would be miserable, but they praised God. And in that, the Philippian jailer is converted and he comes to believe. And we read right after when he says, what must I do to be saved? And he says, you must believe. And this is what we read here. Acts 16, 32 to 34. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house, Paul and Silas did. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, and he and his family, all of his family. And then he brought them up into the house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. So the Philippian jailer is rejoicing. We've obeyed it. We've received the truth. I've seen the whole thing I've been looking for my whole life and never knew that I needed. It was proclaimed, and he believed, and so did his house, and they rejoiced over it. One of the things that come to my mind is also this, the Ethiopian eunuch traveling on his chariot. Philip joins him, preaches to him Jesus, and the first thing that he wants to know is, when can I be baptized? Here's much water. And in Acts 8, verse 36 to 39, this is what we read. They were going along the road, and they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way. Left out a word there, didn't I? He went on his way rejoicing. And the word rejoicing in Greek is the verb form of joy in our Bible. I want that joy. I want to keep thinking about those blessings I first thought of when I was first baptized. How did you respond to your baptism? Think about that. What expression do we see in those who are baptized? I'm blessed that I've gotten to baptize a number of people. Usually when people come out of the water, it's this kind of awe. Their eyes are wide open. There's a smile on their face. And they always seem to be looking off. Now it's done. Now I'm clean. Now I've been washed. My sins have been taken away. I look forward to that. It gives me great joy to see that. It should give us great joy to think about it. But what can a Christian do to restore their joy in Christ? Think of what we talked about this morning. 1 Peter 1. You think about being born again. You think about a living hope. You think about the resurrection of Christ. Think about being guarded through your faith. You think about an inheritance that cannot be defiled or taken away. It cannot be corrupted. It is eternal and given to you by God. That should cause joy. I thank God for those things, what He's given us, His grace. I believe it's wonderful. What would you give for joy in Christ? What would you give to have this eternal joy? I ask you this morning, look at this passage here. Matthew 13 and verse 44, Jesus says, as He gives this parable, He says, the kingdom of heaven, it's like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. I encourage you this morning, if you've never had that, if you're looking for it, sell it all. Commit your whole life for that inexpressible joy. When Christians are discouraged, whatever trials we face, we have an inexpressible joy. We need to remember that. Think about it and reflect on it. Love God for what He's given us. As Christians, we rejoice in salvation because we've been born again. We have a living hope, Jesus' resurrection. We have an imperishable inheritance and protection through faith. In this moment, I hope that we can pray together and pray for God's encouragement as we think about what He's given to us. Please pray with me. Oh, Holy Father, we love You. We thank You for the love that You've shown to us through Your Son, Jesus. We thank You for the promises and the blessings that You have given us as Christians. And Father, we ask Your blessing upon every one of us in here that throughout the trials and the hardships that we face, that we will have that deep joy all the time, that we will look to you and we will thank you for the blessings that you have given us. We thank you that Jesus, that he has given us eternal life, that he has died for us and he's buried and he rose again to give us hope. God, we ask that you bless us all to stir that joy within us. Cause us to share it and show it before others. Help us, Father, to share the good news for what it is, the good message, the gospel. Almighty Father, we ask that you forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So we need to thank God. We want to find that inexpressible joy. This morning, you're not obeyed the gospel, you're not saved yet. You need to obey the gospel. Find joy in salvation. There's no other way to come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. It is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that has brought us to eternal life. And this morning, if you're not a Christian, conform to that death, die to your sins, be buried in the waters of baptism, and rise up into the newness of life. If you have drifted away, if you've forgotten the salvation, the blessings of Christ, let us pray with you. Let us encourage you. We encourage you to come right now while we stand and while we sing. Please come.